Good evening. Tonight, our goal is to acquaint you with a biblical prophet. You should, when we're done, pretty well understand what prophets did and how they became a prophet. We also, secondly, want to answer the question we suggest in the title, Are Prophets for Today? Are there any prophets today? I mean true prophets. Obviously, we know that there's prophets because the Mormons have prophets. The Seventh-day Adventists have prophets. The Pentecostals sometimes have prophets. Quakers have prophets. And all kinds of cults have prophets. So they are prophets, but are they biblical prophets? And can we prove our point? You can decide that after you're done tonight, whether we prove the point or not. Some say there is no prophets at all. Others say they continue just as they did in the Old Testament. Still others say preachers are prophets. I believe Gothard come awful close to exclaiming that. Those that remember Bill Gothard, he come very close to that. However, one thing we can say, or I believe correctly say, that prophets are on the rise. Professing prophets, those who claim to be prophets, are on the rise, as are cults and groups like that. But if a prophet does exist, you will agree with me, I'm sure, that his qualifications must come from God, and the Word of God is the standard we must go by. You must not go by greatness of the person who has been such a kind mercy and so much has been done through him, and all of these things boil out to convince a person that there are prophets. But we have to go back to the book. We have to go to find one singular authority. Nothing else counts. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we bow our head before you because you are worthy. Were we to bow our whole body, it wouldn't be enough. We appreciate that you are willing to be present, and we've prayed for your presence and power. Bless you to the time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The meaning of the Hebrew word prophet, roe and hazah, both mean seer. A verse gives that word in a context will help you in 1 Samuel 9:11. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, Is the seer here? People were searching for the seer. The other name that's used, far more popular than the first two, is Nebi. Nebi. When I studied in Israel, we would take tours on the bus every day, and then we'd come back and study that particular things that happened there. And I always remember going to Nebi Samuel, the prophet Samuel. It was a building, almost like a tower. It wasn't too tall, but it was shaped like a tower, out there in the middle of nowhere. And that was where Samuel lived when he was alive. It was in the bird itself is found almost 300 times. And it was, of course, the principal word for prophet. Deuteronomy 18, we'll read a few verses from there in verse 15 and on. The Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet from the midst of you. This, of course, is referring to Jesus. He's going to raise up Jesus as our final prophet. Of your brothers, one like me, to him you shall listen, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, and in the days of the assembly, saying, this is interesting, we had this a few weeks ago, but listen to it again in the light of that. Let me not hear again the voice of God. You remember on Mount Sinai when they were giving of the law? They didn't want the voice of the law of God was so scary. They're going to Moses and help. We're afraid of the voice of God. The voice of our God. Neither let us see his great fire. The terrible, scary time anymore. So that I do not die. And the Lord said to me, they have spoken well. This is Moses talking. What they have spoken, I will raise up for them a prophet from among their brothers, one like you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him, and it shall happen, whoever will not listen to my words, which he spoke in my name, I require of him. For the prophet who shall presume to speak in the word of my name, which are not my commandments, him to speak, or who shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which God, the Lord has not spoken? I want to pause for a minute. It's a little lengthy, but you get the big message that I want to bring out of it. If someone claims to be a prophet and claims to speak the word of God to the people, he's going to die for that. That's a scary thing. Just as scary as when God spoke on the mount that shook and trembled and burned and in the giving of the law. Don't mess with God's name and God's message. That's basically the warning here. Okay. How shall we know the word which the Lord God does not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not follow nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. In other words, a warning goes out, not he shouldn't speak, but you shouldn't listen. And so how are we going to know whether we're listening to a false prophet is what he asks. He answers, because if what he speaks doesn't come to pass, then it wasn't from God. That's the message he gives back. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So there's that work of the word prophet and its meaning. The second part I want to go to four different thoughts on this, is the nature of the prophet's assignment. We already got a little bit hint of it, but let's go right into it. They were to speak to the people. What was their job? They were to speak to the people. Pastor Johnny is your pastor. He's to speak to the people. Does that make him a prophet because he does that? No, not at all. In fact, he's not a prophet, and I'm not a prophet, and there's no prophets today, and I'll seek to accomplish that point. Okay, the nature of the prophet's God-given assignment, they were to speak to the people. Ezekiel 2, 3, and 4 says, and he said to me, son of man, I am sending you. That's the first thing you need to separate out. God sends his prophets. I am sending you to the sons of Israel and to the nations and to the rebellion ones who rebelled against me. They and their fathers have sinned against me to this day. And the sons are stiff of face. I like that one. Stiff of face. Stern, what you'd say? And hard of heart. I am sending you to them. Boy, what a nice assignment, huh? I'm sending you to the stiff of face and the hard of hearts. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, so says the Lord Jehovah. Quite an assignment. In Isaiah chapter 6, God's prophet is spoken to by God. And he said, go and tell this people. Again, the nature of the assignment, first of all, you're to speak to the people if you're a prophet. Go and speak to the people. You hear indeed, but do not understand, and seeing, you see, but you don't know. You do not know. So they were to speak to them the words of God as a prophet. They were not to speak their own words. They were to go to whoever he sent them, the stiff-necked, the stubborn, the difficult people of the nations and of his own nation. They were to speak to the people. They were called by God. How did they get to such an assignment? Because God called them. Just a good time to compare the prophets with the priests a minute. The priests were not called by God. The prophets were called by God. Make a distinction there as you look in it. And they were called by God through an inheritance. That needs to be explained, that God assigned the sons of Levi and the descendants of Aaron as the priests of Israel. They were that by assignment and by birth, born into that, one after the other through the same family. The prophets were chosen men picked from among men by God. It was actually a very distinct honor to be a prophet. Everybody normally respected the prophet a lot. For example, Samuel was a very popular prophet much of the time. Sometimes he wasn't too appreciated. They didn't like what he said, and he liked what other prophets said. The prophetic call was often connected with an outstanding experience, but don't take that too far. I just said often, not always. For example, you'll remember the Moses and the burning bush. Yeah, or you might remember Isaiah's vision of God, high and lifted up. And that's when he received his call. And then Ezekiel eating the scroll. So there was times there was something unusual happened, and sometimes it was just a farmer out plowing his field, you know. It's just as simple as that. So they are called by God. They were given a specific task. They were men of God used to communicate God and God's will. That was their purpose. So it wasn't only just people to tell the future. They had much bigger jobs than that, though that was pretty awesome. They had actually two functions. Their first function was to receive the message God gave them through revelation, through dreams and visions. And the second one was to speak that message to the people. They were to receive it from God and speak it to the people. You can just see it like that. From God, spoke to the people. They were more than a preacher. They were more a preacher than a teacher. They wanted to bring conviction to the people. They sounded forth the message of judgment coming. They were strong preachers that preached for convictions, that they were really prophets. The priest was a teacher, and the prophet was a preacher in fitting in those two areas. The emotion and the will were both involved then. Teaching imparts information. Preaching imparts information and emotion. Sometimes we see our pastor crying. Sometimes we see him getting loud. Not too often, but sometimes. You know, that's a pastor giving some emotion to the preaching. From his heart, he's saying it because it's big and heavy on him. And for us to get hold of that. And learn and change. The prophet then was to also inspire the people to turn from their sins and live truly with God. So we can just see that, a prophet on the hilltop, from one hilltop to the other, shouting the message of God and asking the people to repent and turn back from their ways. That's how I see a prophet. They were to also predict the future. That was something they did. Again, they didn't predict anything until God first gave it to them. We'll show you how that goes in just a minute. So their primary function was preaching the word that God gave him to preach to the people that God sent him to. They were often seen urging national leaders to conform to God's will, especially the nation of Israel. But he didn't just speak to Israel. Look at Jonah. Where did he go? Nineveh, right? So many prophets went many different places. It wasn't always just Israel. It wasn't just their own people. Now, moving from the nature of the prophet's work, we want to just stamp here at this point. The prophet stood between God and man. Who else do you know like that? Who stands between you and God the Father? I think you said Jesus Christ. Hope so. That's right. He's a mediator. He's the stand. He's one who goes between. A prophet was like that in that day. In fact, Moses' voice at times was a substitute for God's voice. The Lord said, Deuteronomy 18, the long passage, I'll attempt to read it, verse 9 through 22. When you come to the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do according to the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. My goodness, yes. Or that uses divination, or an observer of clouds, or fortune telling, or witch, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or one who calls himself, one who calls up the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God, for these nations for whom shall possess, listen to observers of clouds and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do that. And then in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 through 21, then all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise and trumpeting and the mountain smoking. And that's what we were referring to before. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, we will hear you. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. And so that his fear may be before your faces, so that you may not sin. And the people stood afar off. Isn't that interesting? I can just see that. 2 million people stand a long ways away from the mountain because they feared God. And Moses drew near in a thick darkness where God was. So the prophet is the one who stands between God and man. And he's also a foreteller and a forth-teller. And he speaks to the, and God speaks to the prophet. But how does he speak to the prophet? He speaks to the prophet in dreams and visions. I think you need to know that. Now, don't go home and have a dream and think God spoke to you and you're a prophet. You know, don't let that get to you. Numbers 12, verse 6 and 7, and he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. Not so my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face. I can't read my own writing. So there's a distinction made between Moses, but remember, still, God is speaking to the prophet, not to everybody else. You know, nobody else, if the whole room was filled with people, no one would hear it but Moses or the prophet. He speaks to him in dreams and visions. It's not a subjective feeling. It's a real happening. We don't have it today, but it was part of God's plan. Again, what a prophet speaks always come to pass if he's a true prophet. What a non-prophet speaks might come to pass by accident. May seem like he's a prophet. Keep on looking. Keep on listening. The prophet stood between God and man, and now the prophet Jesus stands between God and man today. The prophet saw and then spoke, Numbers 12, 6 and 9. He said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream. Not so, my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I will speak with him mouth to mouth, even clearly, and not in dark speeches, and he shall behold the likeness of the Lord. Why then will you not be afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why then are you afraid to speak against, not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he moved. So they grumbled and complained at Moses, and God reminds them that Moses is his choice. Moses speaks for him. Beware how you handle Moses. You know, that's really important. In fact, the penalty was death for a prophet who spoke presumptuously. That was a false prophet. Deuteronomy 18:20, I think I read it before, but I'll give it again. But the prophet who shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who will speak in the name of another god, of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Very, very scary thing to go to a church that believes in prophets today when the Bible makes it clear there are not prophets today. In fact, kings, priests, prophets, all came to pass. All were fulfilled in Christ. Christ is our high priest. He intercedes in heaven for us. Christ is our king. He's coming to set up his kingdom and going to reign for 1,000 years. And Christ is our prophet. He was a prophet. He is still a prophet. He is the last of the prophets. The scripture gives no qualifications like prophets for prophets. Just God picks them. But he does for priests. Have you ever read the qualifications for priests? I'm not talking about priests at the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Old Testament priest. A legitimate priest that operated action that it functioned in Israel. Well, listen first before I share you that to Hebrews. God spoke to them through the prophets. God in sundry times, divers manners, spoken to the people by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. I like to say that about 10 times. And after I would say that 10 times, I'd like to see if you don't see two completely distinct things. He spoke by the prophets, but now, that's over. Now he speaks by his Son. And if you say that 10 times and not read over it, I think you'll come to the same conclusion. That he says. And then, of course, in chapter 2 of Hebrews, it starts right off. Therefore, give a more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. If you get it right in your mind that God has spoken once and for all to us through Christ, the Word of God, Christ the Word, prophets penned it, but he spoke it. And we must give even more heed to that, to him, to the scriptures today, than to any others. Because Christ through it. Someone will give you those qualifications for priests. I thought that's kind of interesting. Some people like to make a lot out of the fact that we're believer priests. It's one of the priests of the believer is one of the issues with the Baptist. One of the qualifications. What is that word? Distinctive. Thank you. Yeah, he's pretty on the ball, that guy. One of the distinctives of Baptists, I'm not making light of it, I just want you to see that I believe that the believer priest of the Old Testament has been done away with. That's just where I'm come from with Christ. But notice the qualifications of a high priest in the Bible. You've probably read it, but if you haven't, I find it interesting. Almost solemn. And in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 10 through 23, and the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. Start picking up. You're going to have a long list of things by the time we're done with this that qualify a priest. Neither shall he come near to any dead person, nor defile himself for his father, nor for his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord, and he shall take a wife of virginity. He shall not marry not take a widow, or a divorced woman, or profane, or a harlot. But he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife, and he shall not defile his seed among the people. For I, the Lord, do sanctify him. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your seed and their generations shall draw near to offer the bread of his God if there was blemishing on him. So now one of the officers, jobs to do was to take care of the loaves. Remember, they have loaves in there. And not this guy. If he has a blemish on him, any kind of a blemish, he can't do that job. For no man in whom there is a blemish shall draw near, a blind man, or a lame man, or a disfigured, or deformed, or a man that is a broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a crushed one, or who has a blemish in his eye, or scurvy, or scab, a scab person, or one who is crushed, his testicles, no man of the seed of Aaron, the priest, in whom there is a blemish, shall come near to offer the fire offering of the Lord. He has a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in to the veil, nor shall he come near to the altar, because he has blemish, so that he does not profane my sanctuary. For I, Jehovah, do sanctify it. Get your breath. What kind of qualifications is that? You know, I don't think I'm going to apply. You get the message? That's awesome. God is saying something real loud and clear. Those who serve me will serve me my way and will be pure. Does that rattle your chain that way, or you got another way you look at it? So I think the same thing was basically required of the prophet too. I'm going to move on. I don't know that I want to say any more about that, but I'll move on. When the scriptures were complete, pastors and teachers took the place of prophets and priests. But they didn't become prophets and priests. God didn't start talking to them in dreams and visions. God didn't start sending them out to tell the word of the Lord came unto me and said. Prophets and priests did that, or prophets did. But pastors and teachers are given to the edification of the church, not prophets. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have an interesting passage. I'll read it to you. Love never fails, but if there is prophecies, they shall be abolished. If tongues, they shall cease. If knowledge, it will be abolished. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect thing comes, then that which is in part will be caused to cease. I believe that someone tell us more than just about love. It's a passage on love. It's talking about some things that are going to cease in light of the fact that love never ceases. These things do. And prophecies were listed, and And that's one of the things that's going to be no longer. Now, when is that going to happen? When that which is perfect thing has come, the parts will be done away. You got to, can we talk about pizza without making you hungry? Okay, you know, you got a nice big pizza here, Papa John's. And you take out one piece of pizza, you still got all the rest of it. Well, one piece is prophecy. Another piece you take out, and that's preaching. Got all these different pieces. And then, but what we're saying is, when that which is full, complete, then the parts will no longer be needed. You don't need the piece if it's there. You got it already. I should have really turned that around. That wasn't a good example. Blew it, didn't I? Maybe you can't get it. In other words, in the early church time, we had parts of things. We had a prophet named Abibus over here, and we had a part of Scripture here, and we didn't have a completed Bible. We had Matthew someplace. And when it all gets together in one piece, then you won't need the parts anymore. That's what he's saying. Then these things that are known part, we have a little revelation over here that was given to Laodicea, and the prophesying part, there's a little prophecy given by somebody else, but when the scriptures is complete, then the parts will not be needed anymore. They'll be done away. So what's that saying? That's saying the scripture was continually being written clear to the time of the book of Revelation. And after the book of Revelation was finished, there was no, as far as we know, there was no more scripture written after that. And then, so that was complete then. And so then the part was done away. Number one thought. All who wrote scripture were prophets. Even Luke was a prophet. All who wrote scripture were prophets. But not all prophets wrote scripture. But they were prophets. So prophets had a revelation function, not the book of Revelations, the unveiling, revealing function that we don't have today. Our scripture is complete. We're not waiting for another delivery of a book according to Pastor Johnny or something. No, we're not looking for that. All right. Okay. Now here's how it came. Listen to what Peter gives us information on how we got the Bible. But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there are false teachers among you, who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master that bought them, bringing them destructions. Okay, he's talking about false teachers here, not the true teachers. But and they were active during the time of Peter when he wrote this. In Acts chapter 2, let's see, I'm getting mixed up. There were in the church that we read about in the Bible, the New Testament, the early church, the first 100 years, or at least first 90 years at least, there were prophets. There were prophets, and there was a lot of them. Like Joel's prophecy seemed to be poured out on the church in that day. Many prophets. And there was a major amount of need for prophets to get the message out that the Jewish ceremonies and the Jewish way of doing was not the way it was going to be in the future, because the church had came into the cycle. And now it was being changed. And the prophets would help in that, though they didn't totally accomplish that. It changed, the law changed very slowly. Now, I'll give you a few verses that show you where the prophets were at then during that time. In Acts 21:10, and as we stayed more days, a certain prophet from Judea named Agabus came down. In Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and there were prophetesses, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in many days, and had lived with a husband 70 years from her virginity. Acts 11:27, and in those days prophets came to Jerusalem from Antioch. Acts 13:1, and in Antioch, some among the existing church were prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, who were called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahenden, and the foster brother of Herod and the Tetrarch and Saul. And then in Acts 15:32, and Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confining them. Also they were prophets themselves. You see, there's a lot of prophets in that time. Awful lot. Matthew 16:14. And they said, someday John the Baptist. Some say John the Baptist. Who do men say that I am, that passage? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, though they were common enough to be in that connection. And Mark 6:14, and King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known, and he said that John the Baptist had been risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works operated in him. But I'm not sure why I have that one in there. Mark 8:28, and they answered, John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, some others say the prophets. Another passage on who do men say that I am. So if prophets continue, so does Scripture and Revelation. Who wrote the Bible? I told you in the beginning. Prophets wrote the Bible. Therefore I said Luke was a prophet. John was a prophet. Prophets wrote the Bible. Not all prophets wrote Scripture, but only prophets wrote Scripture. So if one stops, they both stop. I think. I'm going to read 1 Peter. I thought I was there a while ago and I got mixed up. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. Notice it's prophecy. To which you do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture came into being of its own private interpretation. For prophecy was not born at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God who spoke by being born along by the Holy Spirit. How do we get the Bible? Holy men of God were born along, were moved by the Holy Spirit. Did that mean they dictated? No, it doesn't say they dictated. It says they moved them in the direction they wanted them to go. The Holy Spirit did that. And out of it came the Word of God. And who was that being done to? Prophets. Peter was a prophet. Paul was a prophet. If one stops, I think the other stops just as well. Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify together to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that have been written in this book. Oh, nobody's supposed to add to it. What about the prophets? God wouldn't move through them if there was any, because it was to be completed. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part in the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which have been written in this book. Therefore, a stern rebuke goes forth. There can't be more prophets. Prophets write Scripture, and prophets can't write any more Scripture, or they will face severe judgments. Scripture is complete. If I had a quiz now, do you think you'd do pretty good on what a prophet does? Tempted to give you one. Because I really do want you to know this subject, not because I think that you're just definitely going to wander away out in their place and somebody's going to convince you they're a prophet and you're going to fall crazy head over heels with this person. I really don't think that's going to happen. But I think it's so simple to follow this through. The prophets of the Old Testament are no longer in the New Testament. I think they probably were all done by AD 90. Probably that when the scripture was complete, there was no need for any more prophets. And the last book of the Bible is Revelation. Probably was done before AD 90, but whatever. So our goal was to acquaint you with a biblical prophet. I hope we have done it satisfactorily, that you could do well on a test. So please, no, I'm teasing. I won't make you do that. We also wanted you to know why I believe that prophets aren't for today. Yeah. So maybe just remember the distinction in Hebrews. God in sundry times and divers manners spoken to the people by the prophets. God used to speak to the people by the voice of the prophet. But in these last days, that's us now, he has spoken to us through his Son. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Just leave it there. And then think in terms with me of the fact that Scripture is complete. The primary purpose was getting God's word out to the people. But also they had great purposes. He sent them to people that were stiff-necked and the worst class of sinful people. And they sent the prophets in, and boldly they would go forth. And sometimes they met the match. But usually it put them in a, here comes the seer, you know. And they showed disrespect to him. But it was an interesting job. Nevertheless, it was prestigious. It was an honor to be a prophet. It was an honor to be a prophet. And I suggest to you, to be a pastor teacher is a great honor too. And you do a good job honoring Pastor Johnny. I appreciate that. And you, me too, but I'm not your pastor now. He is. And I'm glad that you do that for him. Really do. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing a little from your word tonight. We ask you can use it in some way for whatever purpose. It's not now, maybe 10 years from now, Father. We just ask you to just bless us through it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your hymnal out and turn to page 368.